Mas é meu nosso número.
Ai.
Ah, e tem um barulho aqui. É me? Ah, oh, will you start with me? Yeah. Oh, present.
If you're a villain, not.
Here.
Sean Chavi. David Bateman. Wendy Treat. Marcy Benda.
Present.
Stephanie Rasu. Victoria Bell.
Present.
Eva DeRosa. Ellen Gainer.
Here.
Donovan Butcher.
Here.
Sam Gruyere.
Here.
Nicholas Brennan.
Present.
Andy Garcia Ortiz.
Present.
Jason Chilberko.
Present.
Ana Fernanda Cardenas. Sarah Duran.
Present.
Khan Nguyen. Amir Attaf. Christian Torala.
Present.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Now we're going to go ahead and do our land acknowledgement. Cornell University, where this meeting is located, is on the traditional homelands of the Gayokono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayokono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayokono disposition and honor the ongoing connection of Gayokono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. At this time, I'm going to open the floor to any late additions to the agenda. Seeing that there is none, we are going to close this portion of the meeting and move on to the approval of our minutes, January 27th meeting minutes. So we can go ahead and look at those. For those that are online, that is in the box. For those that are in person, we have a physical copy. And if you have your laptops, it's in the box as well. And I will entertain any motions to amend or approve. Yes?
And motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, second. Awesome. Now that the motions are approved, we can move on to the business of the day. Today we have the pleasure of having Todd Bittner, the Director of Natural Areas and Botanical Gardens, come and speak to us. Todd is on Zoom. Hello, Todd. Welcome, welcome. Let's go ahead and welcome to the floor so he can speak to us. A little round of applause, please.
Great. Well, thank you for having me. First time that I've attended an assembly meeting, so not quite know what to expect. But the reason that I wanted to talk to the assembly is because of the input that you're providing on the Student Code of Conduct to the university committee that's working on that, and I'm hoping that some of the issues that we've been dealing with might be able to be addressed by improvements to the code of conduct. So, for background, as a natural areas director, I oversee 3,800 acres of the university's outdoor classrooms. That includes a third of campus in Fall Creek, Cascadilla Gorges. And so, with that amount of land holdings, I have a lot of neighbors, including a number of fraternities. Some are university owned, some are privately owned. And we have, I've been here since 2008, so 18 years of trying to address a chronic issue that we have with students that attend the fraternities or they attend parties at these fraternities that intentionally throw objects, trash, debris into the gorges. And it's incredibly difficult to get that out. We've worked with Fraternity and Sorority Affairs and the judicial office with some mixed results of trying to address this chronic issue. And in reviewing the code, there's very limited guidance. It's very focused on individuals as opposed to entities or organizations. And it actually doesn't even say trash or litter or anything like that in the code. So the times that we have pursued judicial action, we haven't really come up with long persisting successful results. Part of that is again because the code doesn't explicitly call out fraternities or entities or at the university for what otherwise would be illegal activities, throwing trash on other people's properties. And it's very difficult for us to identify the individuals that are responsible, but it's very evident that where the source is coming from. So in the past, there has been people have tried to utilize the section under prohibited conduct, disorderly conduct, as one of the ways to address this, although it's not specifically listed trash or debris that would fall under disorderly conduct. Instead, it's focused more on violent or threatening behavior, loud or belligerent behavior, obstruction of vehicles or pedestrian traffic. We've tried to pursue failure to comply with university officials. We have our properties at our trail entrances, they're posted, no littering and trash. But these are from other locations, particularly from the rims of Catskill and Fall Creek Gorges. And that doesn't seem to hold a lot of water in terms of using that, because it more specifically talks about policies governing the conduct of registered and recognized organizations. And that includes fraternities. That would seem to be a place that could more explicitly call out the type of conduct that would be prohibitive, not just against policies. We've also tried to use student groups or organizations that engage in prohibitive conduct under the Section M. But most of that is focused on alcohol, hazing, and other things, and again, not specific on trash and debris and this kind of behavior. There has been, and this is probably the closest one, property damage under Section P, actions that result in or can reasonably be expected to result in damage to property. The examples given, though, are electronic data, files, or other information. And so, again, it doesn't clearly identify that throwing trash and debris in the gorges or anywhere, for that matter, on campus is prohibited. And then the last section is violation of public laws, federal, state, local, and ordinances. And this is actually an interesting an unfortunate situation. We tried to work with the city of Ithaca for their codes in the city code that requires trash, debris, whatever, to be cleaned up within a certain amount of time of a notice, or you'll get a fee assessed to you, and it could be progressive over time. The ordinance actually says that the trash or debris on the property in which it is, as opposed to the entity that put it there. And so the city of Ithaca has not been willing to cite these fraternities for this kind of conduct, because the trash ends up in the gorges. And then compounding this, some of the fraternities are privately owned, as opposed to Cornell-owned fraternities. providing less leverage that we could exert with internal folks from like sorority and fraternity affairs because we don't directly control these fraternities. So I'm happy to provide more information. I shared a bunch of information with Jonathan and also with Andrea. I'm happy to answer questions and provide additional conduct context. Again, our hope is for the UA to provide a recommendation to strengthen the code to provide additional tools that more clearly identify the that this is a violation of the code, and to encourage it to be pursued at equal to other infractions in the code. So thank you.
Thank you so much for that, Todd. I wanted to quickly ask, because I'm reviewing this kind of dialogue you were having with Jonathan that I was able to look back at, and you were talking about just how dangerous it is to clean some of the things that are left behind. You also showed us some images via email. Is it okay if I share that with
Yes.
everyone really quickly? I just want to screen share just so you can see the magnitude of kind of how crazy the situation is. And then I want to allow you the space to talk about how dangerous it is for a lot of staff, even though professionally able to, it's still quite a risk to clean up. So I'm just going to quickly share that. Here is some images. I'm on attached to Zoom, so for those that can see, if you can see, this is like an example of some of the things that they're cleaning up. So it's full chairs, dumpsters. It's not just like it's whole signs, as you can see here. It's quite large items that they're just throwing that need to be cleaned up, right? And obviously that's a big risk, especially when you're going down into the gorges to clean up. So I just wanted to emphasize that point, Todd, to support your case here. Can you talk a bit more about the risks, the risk factor of having to clean all that up?
Sure, and thank you for sharing that. So just to clarify, that was just from this past spring from one fraternity. That's and that is fairly typical, which is why I want the code to be amended because we're not obviously affecting the right change here. So ever so, so for the last 18 years, Cornell Outdoor Education has volunteered to be the group that would go out there and clean the gorge. And they do it at even though they are highly trained, skilled, they do it at great risk. And they actually are mostly doing it as a public service. They are restricted from charging the fraternities for more than they actually have in their own fees. So we're not able to use fines or other kinds of prohibited or progressive expenses for their work. And so for what you just saw there, I think they ended up being reimbursed by this past year, the one that caused us the most problems was Lambda Chi Alpha, and the fees were somewhere around $2,000. But what's involved with it is they have to rope off to structures below these, above these, around these fraternities, and then rappel in, and then they have to move side to side, but there's brush in the way, and they're trying to pick up something over here and something over there, and some of the objects are heavy. And at any given time, debris or rocks or anything like that could come down on them from above. And they have to make repeated trips up and they only go down normally, but it takes multiple people, multiple trips to be able to do this below each fraternity. And the topography is so steep that you could only do it with professional training and equipment.
Thank you for that. I'm going to open the floor to any questions we have for Todd. I'm assuming Andrea, that this is a question. So Andrea and then Ellen.
Yes, th thanks for sharing, Todd, and coming with to us so that we can address this and just be cognizant of it. You indicated with the pictures that those were just from this spring, last spring, a year ago. On average, is it usually two or three times that amount of stuff? What is the average that you're able to retrieve?
So it changes from one year to another. And part of that is because of the intervening efforts that we have tried to do ourselves, Botanic Gardens, with Fraternity and Sorority Affairs, with the Code of Conduct. And it is a kind of a Groundhog Day situation because we'll make progress when, the book gets thrown at one of these entities. And they promise that they'll make changes. And invariably, with student organizations, there's turnover. And, a year later, then it's like none of that ever, all that progress is wiped away and we start over. And so it ebbs and flows in terms of that. And for example, Chi Phi had been a significant problem for many years, but they're not there anymore. They were kicked off of campus. So things have gotten better there for a different reason. But that is that what you saw there is not an unusual amount. We have seen that frequently.
Thank you for that, Ellen, and then Zula.
Yes, thank you. And Todd, I just want to say I'm so sorry. This is
Yeah.
really distressing. So thank you for bringing this to our attention. I think I certainly can say I had no idea this was going on. I can't speak for anybody else on the call. And I'm not trying to avoid the codes issue, but and you'll forgive what may be kind of an obvious question. Have you all explored CCTV as a way of trying to flag either individuals or just where the lion's share of this is happening and when it's happening and under what circumstances it's happening? I realize that there is cost involved in the installation of CCTV, but I'm just wondering if that's ever been explored.
It hasn't been. I call out the ownership issue because it complicates some of these things. So two of the fraternities that we've had problems with, one LXA in Catskill Gorge and one Chi Psi in Fall Creek Gorge, are privately owned. So we don't have the ability to do anything on their property because they're privately owned. So there's also some restrictions that Cornell has on videos and photography. So there's a whole process in order to do that. So beyond the cost, whether or not you can actually photograph other people without their consent can be a reason that it doesn't get approved sometimes. So, but our hope would be that we would come up with a lower cost alternative and that's part of the reason that we're coming here to try to get the right tools to help facilitate change.
Thank you. Nora? Okay.
So I definitely oh also I'm Zora. I'm the president of the student assembly. So I am in a sorority that's next to a fraternity house. I'm always picking up litter on our yard. So this is very close, it's close to home. I'm looking currently on the organizational scorecard for Lambda Chi. They are the only fraternity that has any judicial history related to littering. However, they're all infractions from 2021, 2022. And I believe they only resulted in educational, I guess, like that's how the situation was addressed, was it was group behavior and education on littering and the environment. When it comes to future violations and the continued violations that are clearly have not been addressed since 2022, what What, like, considering a fraternity would usually just pay a fee if it were a fine to the university or to the Botanic Garden, education seminars tend to just be a bunch of undergraduate students sitting in a room and zoning out. Social probation, I don't know if that's going to be, seen as a fair punishment or a beer can in the gorge. What would the Botanic Garden like to see as the ideal punishment?
So, when I wrote to Jonathan, I told him about some of the mixed results that we encountered, and that last episode was one of them. We were involved with conversations with Lambda Chi Alpha, with Fraternity and Sorority Affairs, where we were we at the Botanic Gardens. We're asking them to come up with a plan for how to ensure continuity over time for behavioral changes. So, for example, we had that same year, we pursued Chi Phi for the same situation, and they developed a plan. They created a sustainability committee within the organization. They changed their bylaws so that the chair of that committee was an officer. And in that plan, they created a way to provide training for incoming officers so that there could be some continuity, because that's what we have identified is. A whole nother cohort of leaders comes in, and nobody knows whatever had happened from the year or two before, and then we're all back in the same situation. We had asked Lambda Chi to develop a similar plan, and basically said we weren't willing to sign off on what was being proposed as a remediation, and then I never heard anything from anybody for a year after that. And we were completely cut out of the conversation. It's not really our role to be in the judicial process, but yet the outcomes of that process and the requirements that Lambda Chi ended up having were completely inadequate. And that's part of the reason that we wanted to elevate this. They actually, I pulled it up here. I'm not very good at reading these things. Multiple charges were a finding of not responsible will be entered into the following violations. So it ended up being that they didn't even, they kind of got like a plea bargain or something like that. So, to Zora, to be just kind of summarize, to be able to have to be able to affect institutional change, to be able to have that information be conveyed year over year within the organizations that are involved would be a start, and then some level of progressive discipline if it persists, because that's been the case. And we at the Botanic Gardens weren't really in the business of being the litter police, and so we weren't really for early on we weren't really aware of the level of documentation that was required in order to pursue disciplinary charges. And now, and we also at the time thought that that was the role of Fraternity and Sorority Affairs, They're unwilling to be in that role. So begrudgingly, we are. But if we're going to put that effort into that, then, which I'll reiterate, really shouldn't have to be our role, but it is, we want to see there be some kind of progressive discipline if the behavior isn't changed because it's gone on for so long.
Jonathan.
Hey Todd, this is Jonathan Butcher again. I was curious about, you had mentioned near the end of your comments about the destruction of property elements. And my understanding that I thought students were actually brought up on code violations for that during some of these expressive activity features, or is there no connection between that element that could be used? Like, I understand the difficulties with respect to, getting people to clean, but there, I just thought that maybe littering is a that because in that sense, they're destroying other people's property, which was the akin to the leaving trash in other people's places. So, I didn't know if you've tried that.
Well, it's not up to me to levy the charges. So that's
I mean, my understanding is that individuals can make complaints to whatever, OCC, whatever, and base it on that stipulation, destruction of property, and they will open a case and do whatever. If that was something that got suspensions or whatever of other students in other cases, it seemed like it had some teeth. But I don't know if you actually tried that direction in previously.
Because we're not the ones that actually, I mean, we can document what happened and said that it's a code violation, but what they get charged with is up to the office. And so they did not utilize that in the 2021, 22 charges. They used failure to comply, misconduct related to a student organization, theft and intellectual property infringement. Well, that was because they stole us. We caught them st having a stolen sign of ours on their on the premises. And so yeah, so they used failure to comply and misconduct related to a student organization. And then an alcohol violation.
I'm surprised that it sounds like the explicit absence of destruction of property, given that was the feature that you've been most complaining about. Did they give an answer for why they didn't use that?
So, as I shared before, the Codes office doesn't have to involve us in this, and I part of it was because we pressed on the Office of Fraternity and Sorority Affairs to be the ones that put the complaint in, and so on our behalf, if you will, and so they ended up working with the judicial office, and we weren't part of those conversations. And how they came to that conclusion is something that I can't answer. But I have had conversations with the office in the past, and I haven't been encouraged that they will take these as seriously as they should, in my opinion, which is another reason that I was hoping that the code could be strengthened and make it very evident that intentionally throwing objects into the gorge, or whatever on Cornell property would be a violation.
Thank you for that, Nick.
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Todd, for coming to talk about this issue. I have to say, I look at the gorge almost every day and am amazed by how beautiful it is. And I have to thank your team for keeping it that way. So, first
Thank
of all,
you.
thank you. To Jonathan's point, I just wanted to raise, I've familiarized myself with the code a little bit over the past, I'll say, year now. And I believe that for future instances like these, hope they don't continue to occur. But in the event that they do, it's my understanding that any facet of the university can make themselves a complaint in a code or in an alleged code violation. That would include your office, whether or not sorority and fraternity life wanted to involve themselves as a complainant. And with that, you would have some greater level of ability to ascertain what charge that you would like to levy in that, and make sure that it is, how should I say, congruent with the problem that you're encountering with these organizations. And so just for future reference, I would recommend becoming a complainant directly, if at all possible.
Thank you. Hi, Todd. I was also wondering something that you could explore potentially with these specific fraternities is going to their national organization, and then they can then talk to the specific chapter, and that is a really extremely scary thing for a lot of these organizations. So that's kind of like something you could do immediate short term. Obviously, the turnover is always going to be an issue, but that is something if you haven't tried, you can do that as well.
Yeah, I specifically spoke about the code related and the judicial related items. I didn't talk about the hundreds of other conversations that I have had with students, with alumni leaders, with other folks at Cornell trying to solve this problem. So I appreciate your suggestion. I say this politely. At some point in time, the situation needs to be resolved, and it shouldn't continue to be something that we have to put huge effort into changing things that should be fairly evident for people to address. So, I'll apologize if I've kind of lost my patience. You're the first time hearing this from me, but I've had 18 years of conversations trying to solve this through non judicial means. And we're still here. So I am hoping to have additional tools or to clarify the purpose of the tools through this kind of review so that we can have the proper sticks along with all the carrots that we've been trying to use over all these years.
Thank you. Thank you for it. Might be a question for Todd or you as the chair. I hear the concern. I see the concern. I agree with your concern personally. How would we be able to help specifically? Like in the, if this is the student code of conduct, are we
So,
applying to that or something?
and Todd, you can add to this understanding that I think you're pointing here is that as of the code of conduct resides right now, there isn't any mention of like respective property as far as littering is concerned, the gorges are
Yeah.
concerned. And he said that student orgs and people perhaps, there's procedural ways to kind of punish them, but as far as fraternities, he's seeing the lack thereof. And so he's hoping that there's some sort of accountability measures that perhaps we can aid enforcing, especially with the revision of the code of conduct this season that we could perhaps submit. And
So you
Todd,
would like to
yeah,
submit it.
could you add to
Yes,
that or make that comment?
precisely. Thank you.
Thank you.
I knew we were going to be like Jonathan.
Yeah, I had one more thing, Todd. You had mentioned also in our conversation about some of the challenges at identifying specific individuals as the perpetrator, right? Because when you find trash, that doesn't mean you physically saw them throw it. And so who do you punish, right? And so this code is being applied to students. And so in general, the complaint is a particular individual. And I know that university, whatever, has had challenges sometimes in identifying which particular individual did particular things, and that's a whole game. And so I imagine that's something that's in this particular circumstance. Have you looked into, or that particular feature, have you had any conversations with central administration people about that? Or has there been, have you asked about, for example, other places on campus? Like, it's a kind of a welfare issue, right? Like, we don't want to have trash all over the place. So I don't know. Is there any other place that they may have some, like, if we wanted to try to piggyback on something that exists that is working, is there any example that you can identify?
Well, I'm less familiar with some of those other broad conduct issues. I do know that the university holds organizations responsible when it comes to things like hazing, right, or other si serious misconduct. We have gotten pushback before by people saying, "Well, how do you know that it came that the trash came from such and such?" And when you see the entire backyard is filled with beer cans, and then they're spilling down into the gorge, and then there's chairs that were from that house that are now in the gorge, it's pretty evident that it came from that institution. But that has presented a problem to us before, because we can't point to the individual, which is part of the reason that we want to hold the organizations accountable. And well, actually, the better thing would be if the organization held itself accountable, but that isn't happening. So beyond that, we are looking for the to be able to have the organizations be held accountable for what's happening on their properties that's affecting ours.
Thank you for that. Any other questions for Todd? Seeing that there is none, let's go ahead and thank Todd for his time. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you for your attention to this. I hope to hear back what suggestions from what we discussed might be recommended from the UA. And thank you for the work that you do on behalf of the university as well. So.
Thank you so much. Okay. Now, after that wonderful presentation and dialogue we're able to have regarding that issue, I want to move on to our assembly report. First, we have student assembly.
Our current business, like the past week, nothing crazy to report. We have a lot of resolutions in the pipeline because everyone's become very motivated to work as a team and write resolutions. Very exciting. TBD on exactly what they are. And we had a bunch of updates. President Kotlikoff got a response from on the referendum, very long. For those who are interested, definitely recommend reading the response on the website, and not trusting my poor recollection. And our student activity fee proposal was rejected, so we will be back on that train. And those are my updates.
Thank you. Any questions for student assembly? Okay, thank you for that. Next, we can move on to graduate and professional student assembly.
Hello. At our last meeting on Monday, February 9th this week, we welcomed Representative Julie Edwards from Cornell Health, who gave a discussion about different service lines offered at Cornell Health for students. And that includes help with counseling in addition to primary care facilities. So that was very welcome. In addition, GPSA had a very busy week. At our last meeting, I mentioned that Jason, right here, this Jason, had put forward the special grant committee recommendations for funding various events and new programming for graduate students. And I'm happy to say that at our February 9th meeting, five bills were laid up on the table, three of which were considered and passed, including $75,000 for community building, $61,000 for replacing barn furniture in the Big Red Barn, and another $60,000 for putting on novel symposia at Cornell. So it was a kind of blockbuster week for the GPSA in redistributing funds that sit in interestless accounts in our GPSA Finance Commission reserve. So that was very exciting.
For that. Any questions for GPSA?
If I may add,
Yes, please do.
send all of the good vibes for the remaining two of those for the next meeting. That's also going to be our Kavakov meeting.
So, just for clarification, there was how many blocks that were being considered for voting and how many passed?
There were five laid on the table, three
Okay.
were considered, three passed, two were tabled for time constraint.
And the last two are.
Having to do with novel programming, so new events and programming needs for graduate students, and the second being student lounges, including monies available for purchasing new furniture, equipment, and just space amenities for graduate students.
I see. Thank you. Next, we can go ahead and move on to employee assembly. I know that. Wendy's not here, but she sent in an update for me. So I'll go ahead and read that to the assembly. She said that the future of American University Committee co-chairs joined EA on February the 4th and provided an update about the committee and next steps. The next EA meeting is February 18th. Guest speaker will be Christy Mahoney to provide information about the CARE Fund. Information about the spring 2026 EA elections will be shared at that same meeting. Registration materials will be available in early March, voting to take place at the end of March, early April. And President Kaltikoff and Interim Vice President and Chief Human Resource Officer will be attending the March 4th EA meeting. EA members have been provided a Qualtrics link to submit questions in advance. Is there any other EA members I would like to add to that update?
Nope, that was great. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. That was all Wendy. That was all Wendy. So awesome. Is there any questions for EA? Okay. Right on. We can go ahead and move on to Faculty Senate. Anyone that can step in and speak on behalf of Faculty Senate? Seeing that there is no one, we can go ahead and move on to our committee reports. First, we have Executive Committee, Andrea.
Yes, we are working diligently to secure speakers for the rest of the term. There's really only a few meetings left. Next weekend, next time that we're meeting is on February 24th, and that is when President Kotelkoff will be joining us for his report to the University Assembly. We only have one meeting in March. Given the time frame, I know that it's because I think of spring break in the midst of it. So we only have one meeting in March and two meetings in April, and then our May meeting. So we're trying to figure out speakers and secure speakers and being cognizant of people's commitments that they have on campus. We need to give a lot of notice for that. Thankfully, Todd Bittner was able to join us today pretty quickly, but there are others that we're considering and trying to be aware of that in a timely way. As a reminder, with President Kolakoff's visit, as well as Vice President Kimball, for the next UA meeting, There is still a Qualtrics survey that is out for questions that you need to be aware of the timing for that. So that's going to close soon. So if you have questions, please don't hesitate to fill out the Qualtrics survey that's going to the UA or the Office of the Assemblies that then will make all of that information available. And as many people as we can have in person when the president and vice president Kimball join us next meeting, that would be great. As many, I think having people in the room as best as we can would be great if we can do that. And that concludes everything that I have for our report.
Thank you so much. Any questions for executive team? Okay, seeing that there's none, we can go ahead and move on to the Campus Codes Committee, Jonathan.
We discussed 2 weeks ago the several resolutions that we had put forward, as drafts, and each of those garnered some discussion in our UA meeting. And I had asked everyone to give me whatever comments, suggestions, whatever that you might have. I have not received any yet. The reason why the UA lost the jurisdiction of the code is because we weren't doing our diligence to actually manage the code. So this is only looks bad for us. I would love to be able to remodel these resolutions or get a better understanding of whether or not the UA wants to put any of them forward or not. But I can't really do that without additional feedback. I received a lot of, comments about this is the first time we read it or whatever, but it's now a couple weeks. We have a committee meeting tomorrow, and so it would be great to get some of these comments, even if it's just to support, things we said. I had sent out a listserv email reminding people, as well as a link to those documents. I'm happy to receive the feedback in any way. You want to send me an email, you want to put it on a note in the box folder on the document, I don't really care, but just trying to let you know where we're at, and we would like to be able to do something.
Thank you for that. I just want to reemphasize Jonathan's point about the resolutions. If we want to have a successful meeting where we can vote on those, it's really important that all of you who had comments, concerns raised in the introductory meeting over those resolutions kind of bring that forward over to Jonathan so he can edit in accordance and we can go ahead and vote on those. In alignment. So hearing that no one has kind of reached out to him concerns me a bit. I really encourage people to let him know, what your thoughts are. And if you have any questions about it, feel free to reach out to me or him so we can go ahead and get that ball rolling for next meeting. I'm hoping that we can vote on those soon and get a response in due time. Any questions for John? Seeing that there's none, we can go ahead and move on to the Campus Welfare Committee. Jason?
Yeah, no major updates to state. Future meetings will be determined by poll, and hopefully more than four people fill it out.
Okay, right on. Thank you. Any questions for Campus Welfare Committee? Okay, seeing that there is none, we can go ahead and move on to the Campus Committee on Infrastructure, Technology, and Environment. That is Amira. Amira is not here with us today, but she also emailed a update, and she said that the site committee met and discussed the topic of painted bike lanes on campus. As a next step, we are reaching out to SAIFC,
Student Assembly Infrastructure Fund Commission.
thank you, to learn whether there has been any past or current efforts related to this issue
and to explore potential collaboration. Okay, no problem. We've also established a weekly meeting time on Thursdays from noon to 1 p.m. moving forward, starting on February 19th. So if anyone has any questions, they should reach out to Amira. Any questions regarding that? Okay, awesome. Seeing that there is none, we can go ahead and go through these liaison reports. The Campus Planning Committee is Wendy, so we can go ahead and move on to the Coalition for Sexual Violence and Prevention, Ellen.
There is nothing to report. We have yet to hear about a meeting for this semester. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have the Sustainable Cornell Council's Carbon Neutral Campus Steering Committee. Tori?
We have a meeting this Friday.
This Friday, exciting. How about the Education and Engagement Steering Committee?
Okay, so last time I said I hadn't received anything. Then I looked back, I might have gotten a calendar invitation for the exact same time as the Friday meeting and like find it without thinking. But then I looked into my search and there's nothing with that title. So it could have just been the carbon meeting twice, but the letters are really similar. So
Fair.
there's a 50% chance they reached out to me.
Okay.
There's a 20%. Not
Nope.
20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not
But
enough.
TBD.
Well, we hope to hear a follow-up on that. See what's going on. Next, we have the Sustainable Cornell Council's Campus Operations Steering Committee. That is Ishan. Ishan is not here. Next, we can go ahead and move on to open forum. Is anything going on that someone would like to mention regarding open forum?
I want to highlight, Andy mentioned you can clearly see the clock tower and how it's a heart now. So have a wonderful Valentine's Day or Singles Awareness Day, whichever whichever works.
Notice. I didn't notice.
I
didn't realize that's what you were indicating.
No, I was indicating this around a question. But yeah, later, I was like,
Awesome.
Hashtag Lover's Lane.
Okay, well, that's a lovely update regarding the tower. And Valentine's Day, Singles Awareness Day, love all around. Thank you everyone for all the work that you do, the work that you've done so far this semester. I think in the most universal sense, I hold you all in high regard and in my heart. So with that, I kindly look on any motion to adjourn. Yes.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, do I get a second? Second. Okay, the meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Woo!